Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Dean, we sit in a strange and interesting place in this whole reseller vendor channel.
We do. As a distributor, you're saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of unique.
We're kind of in the middle a little bit.
Oh, not kind of. We're smack in the middle. Yes.
It was something I found very strange when I first started here. I didn't quite get it how it worked. I get it now. It makes a little more sense most of the time. but today, we're going to talk a little bit about the direct relationship between vendors and resellers, because
critical.
That's super important. Even though a lot of our reseller partners work mostly with us, and we, you know, help connect them with the vendors, it's very important for them to have a good relationship with their vendor as well, wouldn't you say?
Agreed, 100%.
Awesome. Yeah. So we've got today Brett Van Riper from Epson. He's going to talk to us a little bit about that relationship. Epson knows a lot about vendor partnerships and building strong relationships with their with resellers.
Yep.
We're going to talk about how do resellers build that meaningful relationship. What are the most important pieces of it? Are there any pain points? What should resellers look for in a vendor partner? And, you know, on the opposite side of that, what should vendors be looking for in reseller partners?
Yep.
So all that, as well as our usual recurring segments, Value to the VAR and Tech Connecting with Us. It's time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right. As I mentioned, our guest today is Brett Van Riper. Brett is an Epson channel manager. Brett, welcome to the show. We are so appreciative to have you here. Epson's a sponsoring partner for us as well. But, you know, I want to start off by letting you talk a little bit about yourself. You know, what's your day-to-day role like at Epson? What do you do from day-to-day? And you know, a little bit about your experience within the channel so far.
Hi, John and Dean.
Hey.
Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Hey, so anyway, I'm a channel account manager, whatever that means. I've done different things at Epson, been there for 23 years, and I spent the first 18, 19 in distribution, and the last four I've been on what we call our channel side. So Epson has three different channels. It has an OEM channel, it has a VAR reseller channel, and then it has distribution. And I handle half of the VAR channel. Brad Miller's another guy that I work with. He's a channel account manager. And we kind of split the what we call the Envision VARs. And we divvy those up. And we have direct relationships with the resellers. And then, of course, they do all their procurement through the distribution channel.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, then it sounds like you are quite the perfect person to talk to about this particular topic. So as I mentioned up top, you know, we're going to discuss the vendor-reseller relationship, what that means. But, you know, let's start off by talking a little bit about the channel structure. And Dean, actually, I'm going to let you kind of kick this off since, you know, you're embedded here at Blue Star and have been for a while.
Sure.
You know, what do you feel like the overall structure of the resale channel looks like, from an outsider's perspective, or maybe a VAR that just doesn't quite get how it all works?
Well, I mean, so I came from being a VAR, back in the day. And I think the structure is as follows. I mean, and the resellers are, getting their day-to-day work done, but the structure that they need around them is critical to have, obviously, the vendor, I would say the software, and distribution. To me, those are the three of the key relationships that a reseller needs to mine and nurture along the way. Distribution, we'll table that here for just a second. Software companies and vendors often are the whole ecosystem that you develop there brings symbiosis around your business. So that structure is critical. And what I mean by the structure is, depending on the size of the reseller, you might have certain engineers, certain components in your team structure that enables you to connect with counterparts at the vendor level or at the software developer level as well. So depending on that, most of the resellers that we're dealing with or that might be listening to this have smaller teams, but they do have engineering functions, they do have programming functions. And when you look at the channel structure, again, you have those three main components, but you need to, a healthy reseller is going to be connecting the dots to those other resources within that ecosystem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes perfect sense. So, does that make sense to you too, Brett? Is that, was that how you would accurately describe it?
Yeah, I've always kind of explained it as like a trilogy, right? So you have the resellers, and then you have the hardware, and then you have the software. And, you know, the key point there is the stitching together of the reseller. You know, the reseller obviously builds their avenue from the software end, and it builds it from the hardware end. But it is the reseller is the point of contact with most end users. Mm-hmm. You know, the feet on the street, the demand creators. So, yeah, you know, on our behalf, we're also obviously searching out those relationships with the ISVs, because, you know, the printers don't work very well if they're not working with software. And then, of course, we're looking at for the brightest and best resellers out there, and make sure that we're positioned and that, you know, we educate those people.
Awesome. So let's, you know, get into talking about the idea of a relationship between a reseller and a vendor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your mind, Brett, you know, how do resellers get started with building that meaningful vendor relationship? And more importantly, maybe what does even meaningful mean in that context? Like, what do you think of when you're looking at a reseller and they want to develop a relationship with you and you're trying to, you know, do so likewise? You know, what does it mean for that to be meaningful, for them to get something out of it? You know, what should they be doing with you?
Well, so the first thing is they need to be able to explain, describe, you know, their value add, you know, what they're bringing to the table. You know, of course, there's many different channels of which people can represent Epson product, and Epson does that themselves, right? We market our own product. But what makes the reseller unique is that they have their own proposition solution that they're presenting to the marketplace. And, you know, our product is part of that solution, but the most important part is the solution that they bring. And the software is not that in totality. That's a piece of it. The hardware is a piece of it. But the service and the support, the integration services and things like that, that's what is key to developing a really good relationship.
I would agree with you, Brett, and I'll take that a little bit of a step further in one direction. When I was a reseller, you know, one of the things that I learned very early on is that, you know, companies like Epson, they're obviously they have a lot of resellers, mm-hmm. and which is a good thing for Epson. But if you want to be a reseller that is very much in tune with your vendor ecosystem, I feel like you have to do a couple things along the way. Well, first off, most resellers do kind of centralize around certain hardware components because their people in-house, their engineers, their programmers are going to become very familiar with the units, you know, whatever their ins and their outs, what the device does, what the programming is around it. And so you're going to get comfortable with that. One thing to do, and when one way that you can start increasing your visibility within a vendor, I feel like, is working strategically with potential end users. So the use case that I'll give you is that, you know, again, we were a reseller. We were more into digital signage. So we worked with one of the large manufacturers, started using a lot more of their displays. But when we took our relationship to the next level is when we really started focusing on end users and developing some end users, strategically started developing some solutions around end users. So that's a way that you can take your vendor level to or your vendor relationship to a new level, right? Now you're working together on whatever it is. And we worked out of Cincinnati. So, you know, it's not a huge marketplace, but there were opportunities that we could work within. And we dove into like healthcare, for example, in the tri-state area. And we became the number one reseller of that technology, of digital signage technology in this area, mm-hmm. in that vertical. So, you know, one way I think that you can, again, develop meaningful, which was a word that you had there. What does meaningful mean? Well, meaningful to me means when you're working strategically with the vendor in some ways. You know, mm-hmm. you're in tune with their roadmap. You're in tune with their engineering. You're in tune with, and sometimes you can build that around a customer. That's a really good way to do that,
right?
To develop that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I have to think that there's probably a perception outside of this industry that, you know, a reseller is just going to sell you whatever you want. You know, like mm-hmm. if you come asking for a scanner, you know, they're going to say, well, we've got scanners from Zebra, Honeywell, Datalogic, blah, blah, blah. We got all these other scanners. You want a printer? Okay, we've got mm-hmm. Epson Star, blah, blah, blah. You know, we got all these printers.
That's not necessarily the case.
You know, yeah, like operating like a standard retailer or a supermarket is not going to be particularly helpful.
Right.
Someone wants a meaningful solution. They came to you because they want you to help them put together the right solution for their particular problem or you know, situation, not because they want you to just give them a plethora of options and try to figure out what works together. So yeah, I do think that's where that idea of honing in on a vendor or two that you feel very strongly about and get very familiar with their product line is going to make a huge difference in how you're able to go present solutions and how competent you probably look when you're out there doing so.
And I think some of the burden, Brett, I don't know if you would agree with this, but because Epson does a phenomenal job of having resources that resellers can lean on in those different facets. I mean, we've had Josh on before that is the head of kind of a point of the spear on the software side. You guys have tons of product people inside, right? I mean, so vendors are aligning themselves a lot of times to support resellers, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Just to stay specifically on your question, we have, a service offering. We have technical support. Our TSE is internally within Epson is our crutch. And that's the regional technical support center up in Canada. So they're helping in a multitude of environments that we're being installed in. And then Josh and Jerry run our ISV program. And then, like I said, Brad and I are the reseller guys. And then we have two OEM guys. So all of that stuff can come into play with with supporting resellers for sure. And then our marketing support. Many times a reseller can be stressed, in regards to having the assets to handle a full marketing department. And so having the vendor marketing department, having Blue Star's marketing department comes as a serious tool to use in the development of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit, Brett, about you know where I was going with the relationship between a reseller. I mean, I guess the phrase I would say is what would you say is good VAR behavior as it relates to a vendor? Do you see where I'm going with that? I mean, what are you looking for in a reseller and what's behavior?
On my end, and I hate to say this, but I like it when, our product's ancillary to their sales efforts. So again, in point of sale and sometimes in warehouse, sometimes in, any type of point of purchase, you're going to need a receipt printer, but that's not really where the decision is made and why the decision's made. The decision's made in how can you make this process easier if the reseller has a good grasp of the environment that they're trying to sell in. That's very important to me. So we have people that are in resort management. We have people that are in college environments, right? They understand the college environment. And there's obviously many opportunities for receipt printers in college environments, but they're not looking for receipt printers. They're looking for solutions or, processes that will help them do their jobs easier, more efficiently, right? And that's where the reseller really comes into play. They get educated on an area that they have some expertise. And then obviously we support that effort.
I think what Brett's saying here is really, really key for a reseller to understand, which is there is a relationship with vendors that can be beneficial. What I mean by that is, and Brett, I think you would agree that as you become comfortable with it, maybe an innovative reseller out there, some other business and opportunities might pop up, and what you're going to lead towards those resellers that you're comfortable with in those types of areas. I mean, I saw that when I was working for a reseller. We got into the healthcare play. We became known as very strong in there. We also became known in digital menu boarding and some other areas, but we started opportunities started opening up to us from the vendor perspective. They could start leaning on us as a reseller to facilitate solutions in those particular verticals. So it's really important to understand that there is a meaningful relationship that can happen with the vendor. Yeah. You were going to say?
Yeah, definitely agree. No, I was going to say, I love, Brett, you suggesting that Epson understands, it's not about us always.
Yeah, right.
That is something that I feel like a lot of I mean, not just in this channel, but in just in a lot of, you know, worlds in general, that companies don't get that sometimes their solution is, or their product is part of something much bigger, and it's never just about them.
Oh, yeah.
And I, so I like that idea that you're suggesting, saying like, hey, we get that, like, when our, you know, reseller partners are out there talking to people, that the solution they need, what they're looking for, the problem they're trying to solve is so much bigger than our printer. Our printer is just a part of that, and we want to help them with that part of it, make that part so much easier for them to be able to slot that in, but recognizing that they have something so much bigger that they're trying to accomplish. And I think that's a huge, you know, positive for your company to be able to say that.
And to Dean's point, again, so like this COVID thing is a perfect example. So, you know, we were all happy, you know, last 4 or 5 years, business has been great and all that good stuff. And of course, we had a shutdown. And the reopening is changed dramatically. You know, like Dean mentioned, the digital boards and stuff like that. That's a big thing. Also, label printing, you know, for pickup and delivery. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where we had kitchen printers and we had POS printers, now all of a sudden we need bag tag label printers. You know, we need individual tags. We need, you know, we might need some digital signing, signage for, you know, a pickup window, right? So that they know whose products are ready and that type of thing. And again, Epson offers that, some of those things in different areas and some of them in my area. But it's funny, like, you know, like in the pharmacy area, we had a couple point of sale people that have introduced us to for our doc scanners in the pharmacy, right? Because they go through tons and tons of documents that they have to scan. So again, it's Epson's role in this is very vital. But the idea that the reseller is the one that is day in and day out in those locations, getting the, you know, hearing the problems at the end user level, that's very, very important to us.
Definitely.
That's a really good point there on the end, Brent. I mean, I'll just keep using the word partnership because it is, and it is a two-way street. And if you realize that as a reseller, because vendors understand that, and they are looking for responsive resellers who can give them that inside information on what is happening on the streets. Of course, they have people on the streets too, but nothing beats a reseller and the boots on the ground that a reseller can bring to a vendor about, hey, this is what's actually going on, or this is what we're seeing,
right,
and things like that. So, you know, healthy relationships stem out of that. And another thing to touch on what Brett was saying, you know, around that is the word was flexibility that came to my mind, you know, that you know, you have to be able to be flexible as a reseller, especially when sometimes when you have a strong relationship with a vendor, you need to be able to pivot a little bit depending on some opportunities that might be coming down the line. Or you can, you know, lean on the vendor as well to help you pivot towards some new opportunities. Those things definitely happen. Yeah. But you got to have a strong relationship in order to do that.
Very much so. Well, then let's kind of talk maybe about the kind of the downside of a relationship. Not the downside, but like, you know, the pain points that could happen in that complicate these kind of relationships. So, Brett, I'm curious from your perspective, you know, are there things that resellers or vendors can do kind of maybe wrong, or things that like are hurdles they have to overcome in order to make this relationship work? Like, where are the pain points?
Well, it kind of depends on, so obviously competitive pain points. I, as an Epson representative, I like people to be committed to our product line. So if the idea is that they're bringing in a competitor product line and using it as a club against me or whatever, that's very detrimental to the relationship. I try and be committed to the reseller. Epson's done a very, very good job with their channel pricing and things like that, and committing to the channel pricing to keep, you know, particularly our Envision partners and that type of thing in good position to sell our products. We would like them to be committed to us. The other thing is, you know, not always use the product as a shield against problems with the end user. You know, sometimes it's another issue, you know, like it could be a software issue, could be a user issue, right? And, you know, don't use the vendor as a, you know, a protective shield. Well, if, you know, if they did this with their product or that with their product, you know, we wouldn't have these problems. I'll be honest with you, I don't run into a whole lot of that issue, but those would be the things that would be uncomfortable to me.
Yeah, understandable.
I agree, but again, that speaks to the partnership, and it's totally understanding. I mean, if you are a reseller that doesn't understand the value of in a partnership that you're having with vendors, because I get it. Resellers sometimes can be incentivized to come up, you know, they're walking in the door to whatever end user, and the end user might already say, hey, I've got, you know, I saw this ad and I you know, what about this type of solution? And it's not the solution that the reseller is comfortable with. They have a solution that's similar, but it uses different vendors. Mm-hmm. It's very, sometimes it can be really hard for a reseller to say, you know what? No, we got to. I got to stay in my wheelhouse with the vendor relationships that I have, and I'm not going to use that competitive. You know, I'm not going to be lured into developing a solution that's the competitive one. I get it. That can be really hard to do. But to Brett's point, it can be detrimental to the overall relationship, because at the end of the road, the vendor's investing in the relationship with you. You're investing with in the vendor relationship. Hopefully, you're hitching your wagon behind a vendor that's good, you know, that understands the channel, that's got great products and good roadmaps of products and stuff like that. It would be a red flag if you're hitching your wagon behind what I would call a me vendor, where you were going, where it's this vendor that's, oh, it's my products are the best, and you know, it's all about me and my products. If that's the vendor you're hitching your wagon to, rehitch. Go somewhere else, because in the end of the road, you're not going to be able to develop a long-lasting business with a vendor like that. So really good nuggets there that Brett just gave us.
I'd have to think that if I was in a vendor position and I was talking to one of my resellers and they said, well, you know, we pitched them on your solution that included your product and they were coming back to us with this other company that, you know, like is a little bit cheaper. We fought it hard. You know, we did everything we could. They ultimately selected this other one. And maybe they still bought it through your reseller anyway, or, you know, against your best judgment, or maybe they went elsewhere. I got to feel you'd feel a little bit better about that, at least, than someone who just said, yeah, they said that, you know, so-and-so's solution was cheaper, so we sold them that instead. The end, you know, like if you don't feel like they even bother to fight or, you know, make a point out of, you know, trying to still make your solution work, the one that works for them, then, you know, you're right. What is the point? You know, you're not doing a service to your business or to your partnership.
Well, sometimes you got to walk away from a deal. I've done that before.
Exactly.
That was with a competitive product and we didn't feel comfortable offering up that solution.
Right.
And we walked away or said, no, this is the solution we have. It's comparable in all these, you know, you can sell it to get comfort level there. But if they decide to go with the other one, and sometimes that's a gut-wrenching decision.
Yeah.
I get it. But I still believe in the long run, the relationship that you're going to develop with a vendor, which is critical, or a software company, is going to be beneficial in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. So let's then talk about the, you know, if we're courting resellers and vendors are courting one another, you know, like they're going through the motions, they've been on a few dates, you know, they've liked each other on Facebook, whatever it is.
Saw each other in an event.
Yeah, exactly.
Met at the bar. Right.
No, anyway. But it's time to get exclusive. Like, you know, you've shopped around a little bit and you decided there's one you want to stick with. So, you know, Brett, from your perspective, what should resellers be looking for in a vendor partner? And then, you know, I guess the opposite side of that question is what do vendors look for in a reseller partner? I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I kind of want to talk about, like, when you make that final decision, like, this is going to be a real partnership. What should those resellers be looking for, and what do you look for in them?
Well, I'll start with the latter. Performance is proof, right? So, you know, when a reseller starts buying your product and installing it and using it, that's what we need to validate the relationship. Like I said, I'm a big advocate of them making a commitment to Epson. And so I don't think highly of competitive product being an alternative. I want them to be committed to our product line. On our side, that's pretty clear, as far as I'm concerned, is that, you know, the vendor can explain their channel, you know, what channels they have developed. They can explain their approach, and they adhere to that approach. So, you know, what a reseller can't stand is for, you know, somebody to work on a large opportunity and then the vendor come around and quote it direct. And I can tell you that's not happening at Epson. You know, we support the channel that we developed, you know, and again, OEMs are part of that channel and buyers are part of that channel and resellers. And they all have, you know, a pricing schedule that's done to that. And Epson also has a direct selling team that goes directly into end users and advocates for our products to be used in those locations. But again, that direct selling team goes through one of the channels to sell the product. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's what a reseller should look for, is that at no time, no matter how big or small the deal is, that the vendor will not go behind their back after they were introduced to an opportunity and sell it direct. And that, so that, to me, that's the biggest thing. And then again, like I mentioned, as a company, what, you know, as a vendor, you know, willing to support a reseller in regards to their marketing activities and that stuff. There's some ancillary financial assistance that a vendor can provide, some exposure, some support documents, that type thing. Those are also very important things for a reseller.
Yeah. And to me, it's about taking that relationship to the next level. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be an Epson reseller, I mean, I guess I could go out and start a business tomorrow and just start buying Epson product, and that's fine and all. But if you want to take it to the next level, you really do need to start getting a little bit more strategic. And so you need to ask yourself, not just with Epson, but any hardware manufacturer that you're developing, or maybe it's a new area of your business that you're looking to explore, so you're going to need some new hardware partners. I think Brett has hit the nail on the head. Support's key, right? If you and you can usually tell in that initial courting just what that support's mm-hmm. going to look like. You know, is it just on paper? You know, people keep sending me to this web portal that has all these PDFs. No, I need to talk to somebody. So right. Do they have an engineer that I can talk to? Do they have resources that that I can interface with, or that my team can interface with? You know, those are the types of level support that you need to look for. Channel friendliness. Amen, Brett. Amen. Because I unfortunately have been in situations where we did bring in the large hardware manufacturer. We did lose the deal because they took it direct. I'm telling you, there's no, that is scorched earth to resellers, yeah. Because word gets around and usually those vendors don't pan out well in the channel itself, but their overall channel strategy, I think, is important to at least glimmer and be aware of from that perspective. A couple other things that I'll throw on the table is you know, the vendor's openness to what they're doing, because, you know, again, the reseller perspective is, hey, I've got my business, I'm trying to be innovative. At least this is the way we thought, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road. What does the roadmap look like for the vendor on some of their, what are they looking to do? Mm-hmm. How can I be strategically aligned with what they're looking to do? You know, are they pivoting into any new areas? Because if they are, I want to start looking into that. Right. So, you know, and that could be either on the vendor side or the software side when you're looking for those types of partnerships. So I would hitch my wagon again behind a vendor that is open to some degree with what they're working on, what the roadmap looks like. Of course, they have to be somewhat guarded because they're in a competitive environment, but the more you have that relationship, the more mining you do in there, the closer that you guys, that the parties get, the more you can get into that type mm-hmm. of information.
Agreed. Yeah. So to go back to the dating analogy, say the exclusivity part is like, you know, deciding you're not going to date anybody else.
Right?
You know, you're just going to see each other. And then my analogy for the direct, you know, versus, you know, letting it go through the uh-huh. channel thing would be like, let's say you got your favorite television show and you're ready to show it to your new partner. You're like, we want to watch this show together, and they go and watch it without you. Not cool.
Right. We were supposed to do this together.
Yeah, we were supposed to do this together. I wanted to be there to see all the aha moments when character X died in episode 7.
Like, yes. What are you doing watching that in the other room? No.
Yeah. There's my bad analogy for that.
So, there you go.
So, Brett, I want to wrap this up by talking about Epson in particular. You've kind of talked a lot about, you know, what you guys do and don't do and what's worked for you. But, you know, how has Epson built their reseller partner network? You mentioned a little bit about Envision. You've talked a little bit about some of that history. But, you know, how did you get there and what have you learned along the way?
Well, again, like I said, we go way, way back in regards to our commitment to the channel. And I'll be honest with you, I think the most important thing there was our commitment to the distributors. So the distributors are the people that actually enlightened us to some of the people that were new in the business and were growing. And it was instrumental in regards to the, you know, the distribution salesperson. Introduction to these people that were growing. And so then what we did is we obviously introduced our programs and we developed a VAR channel. It's called Envision. And that Envision program, it is not based on volume. It is based on the solution provided by the reseller, because that solution is what, in our estimation, is what where demand creation starts and ends. It's the solution that end users buy. And then there's obviously, as years pass and stuff like that, there's always equipment buys, because of growth and that type of thing from the solution. But it's paramount to start the relationship at the ground zero, is the person that has identified a solution that they have to offer. And like I said, we have developed most of our reseller channel through our very, very strong distribution channel.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's a good one at that.
Yeah.
If I could say. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
like by Blue Star.
Well, we appreciate the shout out there too. We do have we have a very interesting role in this whole thing.
We do.
And a lot of it is kind of helping be kind of the middleman. I guess we're the wingman of sorts, in the relationship.
I like it. Yes.
Like, hey, we're really close to this vendor here. We understand a lot about them. We think they're awesome. We think they're cool. We think you should get to know them, So let's get together and talk a little bit.
Yeah, and we're the brass tacks. When it comes down to that, the good part is that there's meaning and value along the way. The vendor's got value, the distributor's got value, the reseller's got value. We're a VAD. We sell to VARs, the value add part. Right. So along the way, there's a reason why this channel exists, and it's a healthy one when people are when there's good symbiosis going on between all those partners. It's a good thing. That drives business, no doubt about it.
Very much so.
Yeah, and I'll give a little shout out to the old SDA, ICRDA people, the trade association. So when people, those are very, very important environments for vendors to grow their business too.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed.
Well, this has been a great conversation about the vendor reseller relationship. I think we've touched on a lot of important points. Obviously, you've heard a lot about how Epson can manage this and how they understand how this should work.
They're a great partner in the space.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's like the gold standard.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, first of all, you should look into Epson as being a partner, because clearly they get how to do it. But even if you're not, for some reason, evaluate your current relationships. Look at your relationships with your vendors. If you've got other vendors that aren't quite doing it for you, that don't seem to care as much about you as you want to care about them, or maybe if you're not yourself building a strong relationship with your vendors as you should, it's something to think about. Maybe realizing that, like, once you build that, once you have that kind of connection, and maybe you hone in on 3 or 4 vendors that are really going to matter to you and your business and your solutions, you might find yourself in a better position to win a lot more business.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I can concur 100%.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, before we shift over to our recurring segments, I want to thank, as always, our founding members. Epson is one of those founding members, so thank you so much. We appreciate your support. We couldn't do this podcast without you. And of course, if you want to connect with us and maybe, ask some questions about, this channel, if you have some questions for Brett, we'll be happy to pass them along. You can find us, as always, on Twitter. That's at TechConnectPod. You can email us, techconnect@bluestarinc.com. All right. As always, we want to wrap up with our recurring segments. The first is value to the VAR. This is where we kind of take our conversation, wrap it up a little bit in a nice little bow, of what we recommend and something we want to tell our VAR audience in particular. So the question I have for this one, Brett, I'll start with you, obviously, is, where do you think a VAR's responsibility lies in keeping this vendor partnership strong?
Well, there's two things. There's commitment and then there's activity. They got to stay out there and keep looking for opportunities, new opportunities. And again, in these times and in different times, looking for new opportunities to expand our business. And, I think those are the key things. And obviously, like I said, not using the vendor as a shield for problems and that type of thing. It's best to take care of those behind the scenes, and then I think they'll find the support with Epson will be very good.
I think that's really good, Brett. I'm gonna take or keep running with your activity one, because I think that's really important to understand. Because again, I know a reseller pitfall can be that they get involved in, they start growing their business. It's always a lure to see, oh, there's other manufacturers and there's other opportunities with those manufacturers and things like that. But at the end of the road, you become very diluted, you know, as a reseller, which ultimately I believe does not work. You know, when you dilute yourself, when you're everything to everybody, that's starts to not work. So, and a vendor is going to be less likely to invest their resources in you if you're a Johnny come lately and you're selling everybody's product. They're going to invest in people that have commitment, that show activity within the vendor line. And again, it's good to link up with that. Another thing that Avar, you know, what to me, part of their responsibility is keeping that communication going. Yep. So as Brett just mentioned, you know, they're looking for innovative solution providers. For us, when I was a reseller, that was so critical that I made a point to keep the lines of communication open with some key people at the vendor and the software partners that we had to make sure that they were aware of some of the innovative things that we were doing. Back then, it was integrating point of sale systems into digital menu boards. Nobody really was doing a lot of that back, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So the fact that we were doing it, we were like, we had a megaphone out and we were making sure that the hardware vendors knew that, the software vendors knew that, because believe it or not, more opportunities came when we started saying, hey, oh yeah, we're connecting, you know, the point of sale system to we got that, we can do
right,
this.
Right.
That's just like, oh, you guys, we became like this de facto company that could do that. So it's really important to keep those communications open, make sure that they know where you're innovating. Most resellers have that in their mind. You know, they're looking for little ways that they can be innovative. And sometimes it's end user demand or end user generated, right? Mm-hmm. The end user comes to you, well, we need to do this.
Right.
Oh, we need to connect our point of sale with our digital menu board. Oh, never thought about that. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Let's help you do that.
Right.
This is where we were 20 years ago. But anyway, you get the point. So there's definitely some VAR responsibilities and how they keep the vendor relationship going.
Yeah, part agree. And honestly, you all have touched on everything I was thinking of too. Again, if we go back to our, you know, the dating analogy, I'm thinking like the communication part, I think, was so huge.
Oh, yeah.
How many times do you talk about the fact that, like, if you want to have a great relationship that's long lasting, you have to communicate.
Got to talk.
You have to be talking to one another. You have to keep up on what's going on in your mm-hmm. lives. You know, you share the good times, you share the bad times. You just, you know, you got to stick with it. So that's
it pays off in the end.
It does.
It pays off in the end.
Exactly. You can have a long and fruitful relationship.
There you go.
All right, well, let's wrap things up with our favorite segment of every week, What's Tech Connecting With You? This is where we get to talk about a piece of technology, a cool app, something fascinating in the world of science and technology that's caught our attention. So, Brett, I'll let you start. What is Tech Connecting With You this week?
Well, I would just say just the development of the cloud in this industry. That's the most interesting thing. The cloud has, you know, I'm an old school cash register guy to PC POS, and you know, just didn't kind of believe that the market was going to, you know, go to these, you know, cloud app applications, and of course I am wrong, and the market and how it has evolved into you know, these remote ordering, you know, remote ordering from your car, remote ordering from your computer and that type of thing, and going and picking up your food is astounding me, quite honestly. And I have to evolve a little bit as an old salesperson.
It's a smart man that can admit he was wrong about something.
Yeah. You can ask a lot of people. I'm wrong on many occasions, but this one I was dreadfully wrong on.
Yeah, the cloud is here. It's not going anywhere.
Not at all, yeah. No. Dean, yeah, what's tech connecting with you right now?
Well, so I was reading on an article, and the title of the article was Dark by 2050. And what it is all around, and it's just one of those little things that you don't think about, but What we're talking about here is electricity,
okay,
and the U.S. infrastructure around electricity and just the skills gap that is really, really glaring right now in our electrical grid. So if we're all supposed to get, you know, green and smarter about our lives and electrical cars and electrical this, by the way, we don't really have the electrical infrastructure to facilitate that.
Right.
So that's an issue. And so what the report is saying is that we're going to be dark by 2050. That's a little bit more, maybe too strong of a claim, but here are some things that are in it. The U.S. would need to train or employ more than 250,000 electricians in the next decade. That's 250,000 wow. electricians we need, like, in the next decade just to kind of keep what we got right now. Not innovating, not growing to where we need to be. If we grow to where we need to be to have all this electrical stuff, that's 462,000 electricians that we need to have employed by the next two decades. So it's just one of those things, you know, it's one of those articles that just comes across your plate and it's like, dang, you know what? We do need to start thinking about our electrical infrastructure and there's just a need for that. And maybe we'll see it. Hopefully we'll see a resurgence and there's nothing wrong with those jobs out there. They're going to be high paying, great jobs, going to need electricians for a really, really long time if we're going to do any of this wonderful stuff that we need to do in order to facilitate. So
I agree.
Yeah.
No, I think there's always been a rather stupid stigma around trade jobs.
Right. You know, I don't get that.
Like, you know, like
I think it's going away.
If you're someone that, yeah, I think so too. I agree. Yeah. I think we're finally getting to the point where we stop stigmatizing it and we start making it like, hey, this is a valuable and profitable way to go for anybody who, you know,
100%,
you know, wants to go to a trade school or something, learn a simple career, you know, or not, I'm not going to call it simple, honestly. These are very complex careers and jobs in a couple of years' time and get out there and get to work. There is nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And those people keep everything running, you know?
Yeah.
We've talked about it this year, this whole idea, like this pandemic, we suddenly had all these essential workers and it's those kind of people. It's people that kept the lights on, that keep things running for us. And it's, I think it is time we start valuing.
There's nothing easy about electrical, by the way. I mean, that's very complicated.
I've installed a couple of ceiling fans and I thought I was going to kill myself. So, and I'm pretty sure most electricians would be like, whatever, that's easy. You
right.
Know? So,
exactly. What's tech connecting with you, my friend?
So I think I told you about this briefly offline at some point in the last couple of weeks, but the wife and I sprung for a Sleep Number bed recently.
Yes, the comfortable Sleep Number bed.
We had the same bed that that I think I had bought shortly before we started dating, actually, and it was a nice king size bed, but like
it needed to go to the curb.
Right, it had seen better days. It was falling apart after our last move. It started squeaking every single time I'd shift around slightly at night. It was just becoming obnoxious.
Yep.
So we decided, all right, you know, let's take our sleeping seriously. Let's get something that's meant to be comfortable.
And you upgraded.
We did. So we got the Sleep Number bed, and so far it's been an interesting experiment because I find it fascinating. Like, you know, you get your score every night. You know, every night you sleep, it scores you based on like how long you slept,
how restless you were. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, it's not very fond of me most nights. Like, I guess the upper score is supposed to be 100. I think my best has been an 88, and I'm usually in like the mid 70 range or so.
All right. So you got to work on your sleep.
And I know part of it's probably that I rarely ever get a full 8 hours sleep. So that doesn't help matters most likely.
People do that? People get a full 8 hours?
Who does that? Right.
Maybe the bar is too high, but go ahead.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's fun. It's, you know, it's got an app, you know, that always appeals to me.
Yes. Right.
We didn't get the top deluxe kind or whatever. We got the kind that has the split mattress so you can lift up and down and like, you know, it's got a little air thing going on where you can set, you know, obviously that's the whole Sleep Number thing is what your level of comfort is.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun, it's an interesting experiment. Like, I'm not going to say I don't like it at all. You know, I'm still like kind of processing how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, probably because I hate stuff that tells me that I'm screwed up. You know, I get annoyed when my watch tells me that I didn't close my rings. And now I'm looking at this thing every day going, oh, my Sleep Number is so low, you know. So.
Well, so I've got a sleep app on my phone.
Right.
But what I like about it is I can adjust my goals.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can.
I think you can.
Okay, because see, it defaulted to 8 hours. I'm like, dude, I don't get 8 hours.
Right.
So I set that down a little bit to like whatever, 6.5, and now I reach my goal all the time now. I'm blowing it out of the water.
I guess that's one thing you could do. You can just go and just pretend that your goal, whatever awful way you actually are doing something, is your actual goal.
Yeah. And sleep is one of those very personal things. I don't know. Brett, do you have one of these whiz bang Sleep Number beds? Or do you have the old school, you know, the mattress that you've had for 30 years?
I'm old school and I sleep like a baby, guys. Sorry.
And you don't feel, nothing tells you to feel guilty about it the next day either, huh?
Oh no, I love my sleep, and I get, I don't know about eight, but I get a good 7 hours and then get up. I don't even have, I'm getting older, so I don't even have to get up multiple times to go to the bathroom. So
yeah.
The sleep number even keeps track of that. It tells you how many times you got out of bed in the middle of the night, which is usually not a problem for me.
But yeah, I knew that. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So the jury's still out.
Right. The jury's still out. I mean, I don't think we're going to take it back, but
it's better than hay.
Well, yeah. It's better than a lot of things I've had to sleep on over the years. I will say that. All right. Well, that does it for us. It's time for us to unplug. Brett, thank you so much for being on the show today. We very much appreciate your time.
Brett. You too, guys. Thanks for the time.
All righty.
As always, stay connected with us. We'll talk to you again. The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Epson and their OmniLink TM-M32NT compact thermal receipt printer with enhanced USB and Ethernet connectivity. With a modern industrial design, it can charge a tablet or smartphone and communicate data using a single USB. Built to support a USB POS peripheral device, it enables online ordering through server direct print and supports cloud applications through OmniLink Merchant Services. For more info, contact the Blue Star Epson team.